Random Music. Hello and welcome to Starter Set. My name's Sam Bradley.
My name is Ed Sylvester.
And welcome to the podcast that takes you deeper into the pages of Dungeons & Dragons. Today, Ed, I am feeling a little bit sorcery.
You are.
We're doing sorcerers.
Yes, we are.
That's the joke. Sorcerers are a really cool class to play. They're slightly different to wizards and warlocks and such. So, bear with us. There's quite a few subclasses here.
That's cool.
Five in all. And it helps to have the player's handbook and Xanathar's Guide to Everything if you really want to tailor a character to you.
If you want to get the most out of your magical abilities.
If you really want to back end that, yeah. So, sorcerers are imbued with like a latent power. It comes from them. It springs from either an ancient bloodline or the magic of the dragons, or maybe a strange event that happened while you were being born. Or
have you got an example?
A circumstance of your birth. Well, there's a subclass that maybe you were born during a magical storm.
Oh, that's one of the subclasses. That's kind of fun.
That's really cool. There's another one where you draw your power from exposure to the Shadowfell.
Nice.
There's some really cool ones. We'll go through them.
So how do they differ from the other spellcasters then?
Well, they don't need books like wizards do, which is a big part of that, and they don't need patrons like warlocks do either.
Yeah.
Because their power is innate. It comes from them.
It's okay.
Obviously imbued through an event or something like that, but the power primarily comes from you. You need nothing else to cast your magic other than your words, because
so kind of like it's something that's inbuilt into you.
Yeah, basically. Think of the X-Men.
Oh, okay.
Their power comes from within them, and there's a lot of similarities with some of the subclasses in the X-Men.
Okay, cool.
There's a few things to think about when you're choosing sorcerer. First of all, where did your power come from? Did you get it from a demonic storm? Did you get it from maybe your parents were gifted a child by a demon or a genie?
Okay.
Something like that. Maybe you're the last, or you're that generation's sorcerer from a bloodline descendant of dragon magic, which is something we'll go on to in the subclasses, because being descendant from dragons in some part makes up the back of one of the player's handbooks subclasses.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, there's a lot to it, but another question is sort of where exactly did the power come? You know, did you see? You can also seek magic out. Did you know that?
Like really?
Wild magic. Yeah, this is one of the subclasses. Is
like
wild
drinking
magic.
From a font, almost.
Basically, yeah, like Indiana Jones, you find the cup, or you seek down the master or the being, or something.
Yeah,
things like that.
And you just touch it, and oh no, Freddy's got lightning eyes.
That sort of that basically is it. Because another question you can ask yourself is, what's your purpose? Are you Magneto or are you Professor X? Are you here to save the masses or use your magic to enslave or control? Sure. Or
with great power.
Exactly. Are you Dr. Doom or are you Reed Richards?
But nobody wants to be Reed Richards.
No one wants to be Reed Richards. Invisible Girl. It's all good. Another question you want to ask yourself is, what is your relationship to your power? Do you embrace it or do you not embrace it? Did it find you, perhaps, or did you find it?
That, the embrace it or not embrace it, that is super X-Men, right? That's literally all that Professor X does.
Have you ever tried not being a mutant?
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really cool.
It's kind of like the kid in the Harry Potter spin-off, Fantastic Beasts. He keeps all the magic inside and then it bursts out of him.
Oh, yeah, Credence.
Yeah, that's the one.
The Obscurial.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Another question you can ask yourself, are you trying and failing to master it? Is it taking over you? Because one of the elements of sorcery, that kind of magic, is it can sometimes be unpredictable.
Okay.
Which is quite cool. Again, mutant-y.
Yeah.
As you said, one day you sneeze and you fly 60 feet in the air. And you just float.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And you just start blasting holes in the local townsfolk.
Help me! Please! If...
pause that.
One, 2, 3. There's a ton of really great Dungeon Master creation tips that you can help your players as well. If you get Xanathar's Guide to Everything, which is an absolutely colossal text that I'm still only really getting to grips with. There are a number of things that you can use and create and pick through random chance and dice rolls when it comes to character creation.
Oh, yeah.
So perhaps you need to know how the world feels about your magic. So you can roll a d6, and depending on what you roll, you can pick one of these things to add a little bit of flavour to your character. Like, sure. Under reactions, if you roll a 3, your neighbours hate and fear you, causing them to shun you.
This is to kind of give your character a bit more basis in the world,
yeah,
right?
To flesh it out. And yeah, it's sort of like character creation so you don't have to.
Yeah.
You okay, like the elements, you like the tropes of this character, but when it comes to making a new one, this is quite good to, you know, mm-hmm, throw some curveballs. Another one of the actions is if you roll a 5, people around you believe that your powers are a curse levied on your family from a past transgression. What was that transgression? Down to you.
Maybe that's your whole thing, is you're trying to beat that.
Maybe daddy lost a poker game to the devil.
Yeah.
Something like that.
You have a lot of demonic deals that go on in your mind.
Mm-hmm. Basically.
Where'd you get your powers from? A demon. Where did you get your powers from? A demon.
Naturally. It's the other realm.
The devil.
You can also pick a supernatural mark, which is really cool, which is like physical trait of your magic. So if you roll a d6 and roll a 2, you have an extra toe on 1 foot. Or if you roll... yeah, it's nuts. If you roll a 1, your eyes are an unusual colour. Or you could have one eye one colour and one eye the other, like David Bowie.
Yeah.
Was. Another element of this is a sign, like how you cast it, something that happens when you cast your magic. If you roll a d6 and roll a 3, you sweat profusely while casting a spell.
What would you call him?
Nathan, Sweatius the Mighty.
Nathan the Forever Damp.
That's much better.
Yeah.
That is much better.
Nathan the Damp and Salty. That one I like.
Just damp and salty. You could name a dwarf or a gnome that.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you roll a 6, illusory blue flames wreathe your hand as you begin casting and then abruptly disappear. So nice. It's just little things add to the whole experience of playing.
It's the whole, this is coming from inside you rather than somewhere else.
Yeah, this, because this is...
Yeah.
Yeah, something that happens when you cast magic, just like when some people play tennis, they sort of grunt, or they have a certain tail when they play poker.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that.
That's a really nice way to say it. I like the poker tail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like a little brand, a signature on your...
And presumably, eventually, people around you, your party will come to know that tell.
I know the blue flames. That's
Nathan
the Everdamp.
Yeah, exactly. So it means that you could potentially walk into a bar disguised as somebody else, and your party don't know it's you. But because you put your hand on the table and you've got two little fingers instead of like one,
four thumbs and one finger.
Yeah, they go, oh, that's
Thumbius.
Yeah. That's Nathan Eversweat.
The man with the extra thumbs.
Yeah.
Does he sweat? No, never. That's weird. Another thing to think about, I'm really glad that you mentioned how characters react to you in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at the player's handbook and it was talking about how sorcerers, there is a level of distrust there, because you often find that sorcerers are around powerful magical events that often don't end well for certain parties.
Yeah.
So I was sort of leaning into that Doctor Who type vibe, where some people think he's the destroyer because he just happens to be at all these terrible events. He didn't necessarily cause them, but he was there. He was documented being there.
Depending on what day of your history it is.
Exactly. Yeah. It's another interesting thing to consider if you're thinking about creating this character.
There's that bit when the Pandorica opens and Matt Smith stands on the stones and he gives that excellent speech, but he says, think of every black day in your history.
Mm.
And I was there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh!
It's madness.
It is good, yeah.
Gives you some gravitas. So in terms of class features, they're a little bit squishy in that you only get 1d6 per level.
Yeah.
And you're not proficient in armor or tools.
Yeah.
Which is a bit... But you are proficient in weapons.
Okay.
Which is good. Specifically, you can get... you're very good with daggers. and one of your starting equipment options is double daggers.
Yeah.
So that might be something to lean into, but primarily you're going to be all about that magic.
The old simple weapons.
Yeah.
Yep, nice.
And you get saving throws and constitution and charisma.
Cool. Charisma. Lovely stuff. Charisma.
Yeah, should we hit the really cool stuff?
Oh, yep.
Actually, let's go through spellcasting.
Okay.
Your spellcasting ability is based on your charisma because you use your words to bring your spells to life.
Well, it's who you naturally are, right? And charisma is so derived from your natural ability to kind of, to just walk around,
for
your
sure.
presence.
And that makes sense because your magic is innate to you, so it's sort of, it all ties together in that regard.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a bard's magic comes from their ability to
sing and
that sort of charisma. But we're talking about, you know, the same way as when you walk into a room and you have a gravitas to you, or the way that you talk, or the way that you move, which isn't actually your words that you're saying. It's more how you're saying things or how you're moving gives you a certain level of charisma. Yeah, so it links in with that kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure. You also use charisma for attack modifier and saving throws, which is linked into the same stuff.
Cool.
Okay, now, at level 1, you get to pick your sorceress origin.
You just do it straight up level 1?
Yep, straight out the gate.
Oh, that's cool.
Level 1, you pick your... basically picking where your powers come from. We spoke about it earlier. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to expand it into the 5 subclasses of sorceress. Now, you can find 2 of these in your player's handbook, and the ones you can find in the player's handbook are the Draconic Bloodline and Wild Magic. There's also 3 more in Xanathar's Guide to Everything, which you do need to pick up. It's Divine Soul, Shadow Magic, and Storm Sorcery.
Sounds electric.
Very good. So the first subclass we're going to look at is the Draconic Bloodline, and that means you basically, dragons can polymorph.
Yeah.
They can shift their form into humans or other kind of races to basically, no bones about it, mate with other people.
Sure.
So maybe...
I mean, that might not be their standard reason why they do it.
Probably not why they do it, but no one's probably brought it up at the meeting. Should we be having sex with them? It's fine.
This is the meeting of dragons.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's just...
Point 3 on the meeting agenda. Yeah. Should we be sleeping with other races?
It's... strong points. So maybe your mother, or maybe not even that, maybe your great-great-great-grandmother was, you know, spent the night with a dragon disguised as a dude and gave birth to your bloodline. And there's something really cool about draconic bloodlines that you can work in as a dungeon master. Mm-hmm. It is canon that some draconic bloodlines only create 1 sorcerer per generation.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of that special stuff. There is that lineage, but
that works really nicely with you know, how Dragonborn they have a tribalism with them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like this is the shaman of the tribe.
Now. Oh, I like that.
Yeah,
I really like that.
And then you've obviously got the link in with Dragonborn anyway, because where's the draconic bloodline? We're all bloody dragons pretty
everywhere.
Much. Yeah. Sorry, carry on.
No, not at all. At the first level at picking your draconic bloodline, you also get to choose something called a dragon ancestor, which means basically you can gain a type of damage to deliver based on what dragon ancestor you pick.
Okay.
This is really cool.
Yeah, okay.
So, for example, there's a full chart in your player's handbook, but a couple of the really good ones are if you pick a blue dragon, you can do lightning, which is really cool. Bronze is... copper is acid, gold is fire.
Yeah.
So there's some super useful stuff there. You can also speak, read, and write Draconic. And whenever you make a charisma check, your proficiency bonus is doubled. How useful is that?
That's quite good, actually.
Yeah.
What,
really
just for
good.
All charisma?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, that's really good.
Yeah.
That is really good.
Check.
Yeah.
It's really great. You get something called Draconic Resilience, where basically you get a boost to your AC.
Yeah.
And you can also play it into your character that maybe parts of your skin become scaled.
Yeah, nice.
Something like that. At level 6, you get Elemental Affinity, where you can cast a spell that deals the damage associated with your draconic ancestry that we talked a moment ago. So that's a little bit of investment, but it's still worth choosing.
So let's say I've chosen my draconic ancestry as gold, and I do a fireball, because it's a fire-based spell, it's better.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. That's great.
Here's a good one. At 14th magic, you get dragon wings, which is exactly as it says on the tin. And you gain wings
nice.
And a flying speed that's equal to your running speed.
Are they there all the time?
No, you can sprout them as a bonus action on your turn, and they last until you dismiss them as another bonus action. But you've got to be careful what kind of armor you're wearing, because they grow from you, they don't just appear.
Yeah.
So if you're wearing a shirt, the back of that shirt is getting ripped out. If you're wearing armor, you won't be able to summon them because they'll be trapped under your armor.
Why has that guy got two massive holes in his shirt?
Oh, you'll see.
Yeah.
That's flying Bob. Can he fly? No. Terrified. And at level 18, with all these subclasses, you get like a really cool ability when you reach the upper echelons of the levels. At level 18, you get something called Draconic Presence, which means you can channel the presence of your dragon ancestor to basically make everyone around you totally awestruck or totally terrified.
Okay. Yeah.
Really good. That lasts for a minute until you lose your concentration.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, really, really great there. So that is Draconic Bloodline.
Yep, wicked.
The next one that you get in the player's handbook is the wild magic. Now,
wild magic!
This is a little bit more open to interpretation because it basically comes from an exposure to magic. Maybe someone opened a portal and some of it leaked in.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Maybe you were marked at birth by a demon. Something like that.
Classic demon.
Exact classic demon. Or, which is, this is possibly my favourite sort of interpretation, it's all it is a fluke of birth. This is full on X-Men.
Yeah.
This is full on X-Men. Really cool stuff. And I like to liken it to Scarlet Witch. You know how she has that chaos magic?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, really cool. You also get something called the Wild Magic Surge.
Yeah, I know about this. It's
now,
awesome.
This is a little bit of a trip, and it has a whole page to itself in the player's handbook.
They're so fun.
So get ready. So Wild Magic Surge is a really cool effect in that it's actually triggered by your DM. Bear with me. Whenever you cast a first level spell, your DM can have you roll a d20.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you roll a 1 on that d20, you then have to roll the percentile dice. And depending on what you roll, a totally random act of chaos magic occurs. This is what I'm talking about with the Scarlet Witch thing.
Yeah.
As cool as she is, when she enters the comic books, she's actually a walking A-bomb that can go off at any second.
Because
she's not in control of literal chaos. So I'll throw a couple at you.
Yeah,
obviously,
there's
loads. So if you happen to roll a 71 or a 72, you gain a resistance to all damage for the next minute. If you roll a 9 or a 10, you cast a magic missile as a 5th level spell.
That's awesome.
Yeah. If you roll a 29 to a 30, you teleport up to 60 feet to an unoccupied space of your choice that you can see.
Awesome.
So it's like, don't touch me, I'm going to cast a shield. Boop. No,
yeah,
you're not.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to teleport onto his shoulder or behind him or away from him.
That's awesome.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
And there's a whole page of these in the player's handbook.
Yeah. So I've been a DM to a wild magic sorcerer. And honestly, I think you can kind of give it to your player as well if you trust your player to use that responsibly. Because this as an ability can
break the game.
Yes, sometimes. And as much as that is fun and it is interesting, just being aware of when to use it narratively, I think that's key. When you're having conversations of going like, oh, I really want to play a wild magic sorcerer, check with your DM, have that conversation and be like, how do you feel about, you know, am I going to be doing this every single time I cast a spell?
Because
some people will do that.
Yeah.
Or will you like allow me to maybe occasionally veto it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Do you trust me to use it?
Yeah, exactly.
Here's a good one. If you roll a 77 or a 78, you cast Polymorph on yourself. If you fail the saving throw, you turn into a sheep for the spell's duration.
Yeah, see, that's hilarious.
Just pretty good. I like that one.
I bring down flames of thing upon you and blah,
pop.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what else can you get as a wild magic? Well, you can also get something at level 6 called Bend Luck, where you can just twist fate and play with probability.
Okay.
So when another creature you can see makes an attack roll or an ability check or a saving throw, you can use your reaction and spend two sorcery points, we'll come back to those, to roll 1d4, and you apply the number rolled as a bonus or penalty, that's your choice,
nice.
To the creature's roll.
Yeah, yeah.
So I attack you with 20. Actually, no, you don't. We're going to knock a little bit off that.
I'll roll this. It's a 4. It's 16. It misses. Yeah, great.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
They're always fun.
Mm-hmm. At 14th level, you get Controlled Chaos, where whenever you roll on the Wild Magic Surge table we just talked about, you can roll twice and use either number.
Oh, that's good.
I turn into a sheep, or I, you know, open a portal to hell.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a roll.
Which, that's a weird choice. I think I'd go sheep.
Yeah, because at least you're just at home.
Yeah. Kevin, are you a sheep again? All right, fine. Kevin, have you opened a portal to hell?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know why I was going to bar there.
Right, yeah. He's done both.
At level 18, you get something called Spell Bombardment,
mm-hmm.
which is basically where the harmful energy, it just intensifies. Whenever you roll damage for a spell and roll the highest number possible on any dice, choose one of those dice, roll it again, and then add that roll to the damage.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so it's a real combat multiplier.
Yeah, yeah.
You can only use that once per turn, though.
That's fine.
But, I mean, if you get it right...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Brilliant. No, that's great.
That's really good. So that is Wild Magic.
Wild Magic!
Jing, 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 jing. Yeah. So the next up, we're going to nip over to Xanathar's Guide to Everything, and we're going to look at the first one, which is Divine Soul, which is not you playing as Aretha Franklin. No? Okay. Fair. No, they got the reaction that...
I'll just let the crickets do that one.
Okay, so Divine Soul is basically your magic is divine from a connection to a divine being. Maybe it was an angel your mum had an affair with.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
A planetar.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Hold on to that for
Okay, all right.
Yeah, so this is... When you pick it, you can pick a divine... You get Divine Soul features,
mm-hmm.
which is cool. So when you're at Sorcerer Level 1... you get Divine Magic. At 6, you get Empowered Healing. And 14, you get Otherworldly Wings. And then your 18th level ability is Unearthly Recovery.
Right.
So these, as you go through, with Divine Magic at your first level,
mm-hmm.
you can pick an affinity
right.
from a list. With a good affinity, you can cure wounds. You get the Cure Wounds spell.
Oh, okay.
If you pick evil, you can inflict wounds. With lore, you get bliss.
Mm-hmm.
No, bless. With chaos, you get bane, and with neutral, you get protection from good and evil.
Okay, nice. So this is the sort of like the connection to the god, where you've kind of, in the same way you've got the draconic ancestry, it's mm-hmm. a connection to whichever type of dragon it is.
Yeah,
this one's whatever sort of god has kind of been involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, essentially. Nice.
Yeah, wicked.
Yeah, there's another really cool thing. You get the favored by the gods. This is a first level thing, obviously.
Like the gods.
If you fail a saving throw or miss with an attack roll, you can roll 2d4 and add it to the total, so you can change the outcome. So I go to swing, I roll really low, but what am I going to do? I'm going to roll 2d4 and add those numbers to the total.
Okay, so that's almost like that's kind of like a little change up on that wild magic luck that we saw a moment ago, but only in the positive to yourself.
Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah, I like that as well.
Super useful. Empowered Healing, you get that at 6th level. And basically what that allows you to do is if anyone within 5 feet of you tries to heal,
mm-hmm.
you can, and they roll badly, you can spend one of your sorcerer points, thank you Ed, to basically let them roll again.
Okay.
Which is really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can re-roll any of the dice once.
Basically get a better healing roll.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
You get Otherworldly Wings at level 14. You get spectral wings, so it doesn't matter what you're wearing, in difference to the dragon wings we saw earlier. And you have a flying speed of 30 feet.
Oh, cool.
And the wings last until you die or you're incapacitated or you choose to dismiss them as a bonus action.
Right.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And then at 18th level, they bring in the big guns with Unearthly Recovery. You gain the ability to overcome, and I quote, grievous injuries. As a bonus action, when you have fewer than half your hit points remaining, you can regain a number of hit points equal to half your hit point maximum.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Jesus.
That's really coming back from the dead.
Yeah, you can never really go down unless you get massive, massive damage.
Mm-hmm. One great big huge attack. Yeah. And don't forget, you can still have armor on top of this as well.
Yeah, yeah, so it's going to be difficult. Jeez, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really good. But you can only use that feature once per long rest.
Okay.
So it's a real once per fight, death-defying move. Yeah, that's Divine Soul.
Cool.
How are you finding this so far? We've got two more to go.
Yeah, good, man. I like the Divine Soul. I like the... Well, I always like the Wild Magic because of just how nuts it is.
Yeah, it's classic.
Yeah. Next up, show me the next one.
Next up, we have Shadow Magic. And this is where you draw your magic from the Shadowfell itself.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty, pretty cool.
This is for your emo players.
Not necessarily. I mean, you can look at it however you want. But... Yeah, you get a few little quirks as well that we were talking about earlier in terms of character creation, where you can roll a d6 and pick a quirk of character tailored to your shadowiness.
Sure.
Basically.
Yeah.
So if you roll a 1 on a d6, you're always icy cold to the touch. If you roll a 4, your heart only maybe beats once a minute.
Brilliant.
It's a surprise even to you. And like 6, you don't blink.
I love to think of the game where they figure that out. You know what I mean? Like at what point does your DM... At what point have you done something that your DM goes like, oh yeah, you've just figured out his heart only beats once a minute.
Well, maybe you're being hunted by something that can hear heartbeats and your shadow magic
predator.
Sorcerer never gets...
Spotted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or just once a minute he does.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I do like that though. That's cool.
Nice little thing. Maybe being hunted by the Predator.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Telltale Shimmer.
Yeah.
I mean, Telltale Shimmer is a great sorcerer's name.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Do you reckon that's for a shadow sorcerer? We're getting off topic.
Slightly.
Go on.
Maybe you were born in the Shadowfell and you fell through a portal.
I was born in the darkness.
Molded by it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very cool. So the first thing you get Eyes of the Dark, which is basically dark vision for a range of 120 feet.
Nice.
You get that at first level.
Yep.
At third level, you learn the Darkness spell, which doesn't count against your sorcerer's spells known. So it's just something that you can do.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. You get Strength of the Grave. This is also at first level, where you sort of...
You're getting a lot straight out of the gate.
Yeah, you do. This is particularly good because when you have... 0 hit points, you can make a charisma saving throw, which is really good. And on success, you instead drop to 1 hit point.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah,
you don't go down.
Basically, yeah. You just stay fighting, just barely. You hoist yourself up on your sword and, oh God, and you just come forward, spitting out your mouth, God. This is a nice one. At 6th level, you can summon the Hound of Ill Omen.
Right, does that sound as awesome as it is?
It is. You call forth a howling creature of darkness to harass your foes.
Yeah, that sounds sick.
You like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can find the Hound in the Monster Manual or in the Player's Handbook Appendix C.
What is it?
It's basically, it's a hound, it's size medium, and it counts as a monstrosity, not a beast, which is pretty cool. It appears with the number of temporary hit points.
That's cool.
Oh yeah, it's a wolf, sorry. Wolves are hounds, aren't they?
Oh, just because it's... I mean, that's awesome. It's a dire wolf.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah.
I don't watch Game of Thrones, but I know that's important.
Big wolf.
Yeah, it's huge.
Just like, you know how there's a normal wolf?
Like,
that's
Sirius
quite
Black.
Scary.
Yeah.
But like a... Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. The hound appears in a... And blah, blah, start that again.
Yeah, that's fair.
The hound appears in an unoccupied space of your choice within 30 feet.
Cool.
So you can just...
Yeah.
If you're being ravaged, I like to think you could summon this wolf and it jumps on its back, or... It goes after the wolf. Don't laugh at Ravaged.
No, it's good. I just like the idea of, like, just in terms of a description from a fantasy novel.
Now, we've talked about this next one, Shadow Walk, that you get at 14th level.
Yeah, this is banging.
This is where you can, if regular listeners of the show know, you can step from one shadow to another without being seen, using them similar to portals.
Yeah, like basically. Shadow Monks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly, yeah. You can magically teleport, basically, 120 feet that is... within dim light or shadow.
Yeah.
And that's
awesome.
Down to your DM to decide what dim light counts as. And then at 18th, your huge ability is Umbril Form, where you can spend 6 sorcery points to as a bonus action to magically transform yourself into a shadowy force.
Okay.
You basically become like the anti-Avatar state.
Yeah, yeah.
Wrought in darkness.
That's cool.
Bringing only chaos.
I like that a lot.
It's really good. You can stay in that form for 1 minute, but you do take 5 force damage when you do it.
Oh, okay. Sort of, okay, because you're kind of just turning yourself into something else.
Yeah, yeah, it's really good.
Nice.
Boom. And finally, last but not least, we have Storm Sorcery.
Electrify me, Sam.
Let's see what we got here. This is where your power draws from elemental air.
Mm-hmm.
So, sort of like airbenders. Remember I mentioned at the top of the show about maybe there was some enchanted hurricane or a storm.
Oh, yes.
When you were being born or you were exposed to the great rains
or
something.
A magical maelstrom.
Basically, yes. That's where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, born during a hurricane is what I wrote in my notes for that. Again, you get a few sort of storm sorcery features as you level up. You get Wind Speaker, which means you can... The arcane magic you command is infused with elemental air. You can also speak, read, and write primordial.
Yep.
Which, depending on your world, can be quite useful.
That's the language of the elementals.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You also get Tempestuous Magic. This starts at level 1, where you can basically create whirling gusts to surround you as, okay, like a defense.
Oh, right, okay. So, nice. I can see that happening.
Yeah, it's useful. It's a level 1 ability.
Yeah.
Give it some cred. At level 6, you get Heart of the Storm. You gain a resistance to lightning and thunder. And then whenever you start casting a spell of first level or higher that deals in like thunder or lightning or things that are very, very frightening, storm magic erupts from you.
Okay.
And you can basically pick a creature within 10 feet to take lightning or thunder damage equal to half your sorcerer level.
Is that including the one that you've attacked as a magical thing?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool.
It's one of those, it's an investment.
Yeah.
If you're at level 6, maybe half in those 3, that's okay. Mm-hmm. But when you're level 20...
Smashing out 10 points damage.
Smashing it out, man. Smashing it out. Also at 6th level, you can control the weather.
Okay, brilliant.
You can stop rain falling within a 20-foot radius of where you are.
Can you control the wind?
Yes, indeed you can. You can create basically a hurricane that you sit in the centre of.
Oh, sick.
100-foot radius sphere of just...
100 feet?
Mm-hmm. You can get all your boys in.
Everybody come in here.
Mm-hmm. And if you're fighting in the desert, maybe you make a sandstorm, something like that.
Darude comes on.
It's very good.
Thanks.
Very good.
Thanks.
At 14th level, you get Storm's Fury. When you are hit by a melee, you can use your reaction to deal lightning damage. That damage that equals your sorcerer level.
Mm-hmm.
The attacker has to make a strength saving throw as well. And if they fail that save, they're pushed in a straight line up to 20 feet away from you.
Okay,
in
nice.
In any direction.
So this is almost like when you hit... Well, I say when you hit. It's not like I do this every day. When you see people in movies like hit electric things,
mm-hmm,
like with weapons and stuff like that, and they just get blasted back. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, yeah,
basically.
Nice. Yeah, I like that.
You can do it straight up.
That's also very cool.
Mm-hmm. Off you go, son. And then their huge ability that they get at level 18 is Wind Soul. Again, you get you gain an immunity to lightning and thunder. You gain a magical flying speed of up to 60 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And as an action, you can reduce your flying speed for 30 feet for an hour. So you can just fly around.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
You also choose a number of creatures within 30 feet of you equal to 3+ your charisma modifier. The chosen creatures gain a magical flying speed of 30 feet for 1 hour.
Okay, so you can get your whole posse to fly around if you need to. Yeah, yeah, we need to get over there. Usually it's going to be like 2 days' journey through this valley.
We're going
to
snowman this shit.
Fly across.
Off we go.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And that is Storm Sorcerers.
Nice, excellent.
Now, you pick all that at level 1.
Yeah.
Which means at level 2, some other pretty cool stuff starts happening.
Mm-hmm.
This is all detailed in the player's handbook. And I'm going to have it open in front of me to make sure I don't mess it up.
You pick your Sorceress Origin, yeah, level 1.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
So then at level 2, you tap into something called the Font of Magic, which creates your sorcery points. You start with 2 sorcery points, and you gain more as you get up through the levels.
Okay.
You can use sorcery points to either create spell slots, or you can turn a spell slot into a sorcery point as a side note.
Okay, so a bit of resource management, really. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. But remember, you also need your sorcery points to use a lot of your sorcery abilities as you level up. Yes. So that's basically it for sorcery points. Mm-hmm. At third level, you get something called meta magic.
Right.
Now, this is really cool because it means you can bend the type of magic you use to your needs, essentially. There's a ton of really cool ones. I'll give you a couple of them. So, for example, there's something called distant spell.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can pick one of this list of about 9. You can pick one at your 3rd level, and then you gain another at your 10th and 17th levels.
Okay, cool.
So you're essentially going to get 3. You can only use one metamagic option on a spell when you cast it, unless otherwise noted.
Sure.
So you can't use you can't just suddenly have super lightning.
Yeah.
A really cool one is distant spell, where if you cast a spell that has a range of 5 feet or greater, you can spend one sorcery point to double the range of that spell.
Okay.
So you can become a magic sniper.
Yep, like that a lot.
Which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
There's also called subtle spell. If you cast a sorcery point, you can cast your... Remember we were talking about how your power is linked in your charisma and the words you use?
Yep.
Subtle spell is basically non-verbal magic.
Okay, right. So if you usually have to sort of say, I summon blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, essentially.
You can just do it without that.
If you're going with that 90s storm... For a storm sorcerer.
Yeah.
I summon the winds of the plains.
So you can just do it anyway.
Just do it.
Just do it, Storm. Or
whatever her name is. So there's that. So maybe you're tied up or you're handcuffed and you need to very quietly levitate the key out of the guard's drawer and unlock yourself. That is the one for you.
Nice.
Really cool. At your 4th level, you get an ability score improvement.
Yeah.
Which you get at 4th, then again at your 8th, 12th, 16th, and finally your 19th level. Which is basically you can increase one ability score of your choice by 2.
Yeah, you're boosting your stats.
Essentially, yeah. It's like leveling up in Fallout or Skyrim.
Yeah.
Essentially. And then, at level 20, you get Sorcerer's Restoration, where you gain 4 expanded sorcery points whenever you finish a short rest.
Okay, nice. So usually they only reset on a long rest then?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay, cool, awesome. So that means you can just keep going. Nice.
And that, my friend, is sorcerers.
Oh, Sam, well done.
Thank you. You may have noticed that obviously I was taking the lead on sorcerers. It's my first time having to do all the book learning ahead of time, and my takeaway is Ed Sylvester is a fucking hero, because it is not easy to get all that knowledge.
No, that is true. And I did. Do you know what? You don't always get it all right. And I do have to give a bit of props to somebody recently who called me out for messing up on Rangers.
Oh, no, that live show.
I know. I messed up on Rangers.
Live recording.
But the nice thing is I kind of messed up and fixed it as well. So I was talking about hit dice and the fact that they only have a D8 hit dice. And really, this isn't good enough. They should have a D10 hit dice.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out, they've actually got a D10 hit dice.
Ah.
So, you know.
Your heart was in the right place.
Yeah, I'm both solving that problem and causing it. Hey-ho, that is what it is. Right, do you want to do What's That Spell?
Yes, I do.
Play the jingle.
What's that spell?
What's that spell?
What's that spell?
Watch my spell.
I'll have the tables have turned. Right. Legend lore.
Legend lore.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I think this is where you get to, I think, touch an object or look at an object, spend some spell slots, whatever spell it is, and you kind of know information about it.
That is bang wrong. No, it's absolutely right.
Oh, okay. Nice. Excellent. Ding.
Yes. Casting time, 10 minutes. Name or describe a person, place, or object. The spell brings to your mind a brief summary of significant lore about the thing you named.
Oh, that's good.
You don't actually even need to touch it.
Yeah, that's really
good.
Maybe
I should give you half a point.
Yeah, no, give me half a point for
that. Yeah, yeah.
Because that's really good, because when you're in conversation with somebody, mm-hmm. and they kind of go like, the mines of Uthtar, and you're like, you know when stuff kind of registers mm-hmm. a little thing, it's like, right, I need to pick out what that is.
It's like having your own mind palace, for those of you that watch the Sherlock Holmes on BBC or HBO, depending on where you are.
Yep.
Okie dokie, let's do another one. Magic jar.
Magic jar. Oh, man. I think this is where you take the soul of someone and keep it in a jar.
Is that your...
No, it's not. Yes, it is.
I think.
Oh, no, I'm so confused. Yes, it is.
Not nice, is it?
No.
Oh, my God, this is a really long one. Okay. Your body falls into a catatonic state as your soul leaves it and enters the container you use for the spell's material component.
The jar.
Exactly.
Yeah.
While your soul inhabits the container, you are aware of your surroundings as if you were in the container's space, but you can't move or use reactions. It's limited to 100 feet. So it's basically, there's a lantern outside your house.
Right.
And you hear someone coming up the path, so you transport your consciousness into that lantern.
That's really good, though. It's
but
nice.
It is your own soul, so no points for you, unfortunately.
Early warning system. All right, that's fine.
Oh,
no points for me.
Half a point out of two. How the tables have turned. Move Earth.
Okay. I mean, you get to move Earth.
That is essentially the long and short of it, Ed.
Yeah. But you can't move stone. That's a big one on that.
We've managed to squeeze four paragraphs out of it here, but essentially, choose an area of terrain no larger than 40 feet on a side within range.
Mm-hmm.
You can reshape dirt, sand, or clay.
Yep, no stone, so you can't be messing with.
No.
And it's only natural occurring, if I remember correctly, so you can't be messing with walls and stuff like that.
That's it.
Yeah, nice.
That's What's That Spell?
What's That Spell?
Do you have a character in your box for us, Ed?
Oh, yeah, Ed's character box. All right, I am going to go with a storm sorcerer.
Mm-hmm.
And he... Do you know what? Because we always do a he. She...
Okay.
Right, is a... Ah, she's a pirate, or was a pirate, right?
Interesting.
Yeah. First mate on a ship, the Bloody Knuckle.
Mm-hmm.
And
that sounds more like a tavern, but I'm going with it.
It doesn't matter. It's a pirate ship.
Of course.
They're basically floating taverns.
It's got a fist on the front.
Yeah, and it's a ramming ship, right?
Of course.
And they're like, they come across a privateer, like, during a horrific storm, and the captain kind of calls... Right, ramming speed or whatever, and they go to do it, and the ship goes down, and it takes down the other ship with them as well during this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Character, she gets washed up on the beach 3 days later.
With storm powers.
I mean, hang on.
Sorry.
Right, 3 days later, drags away to like the next nearest closest town and sort of sits down, has a drink and, you know, some food, and falls into like a catatonic state for weeks. Wakes up and like the side of her room in this inn has just been blown out. It's just been That's how she wakes up.
That's the elemental air.
Yeah, and that's it. And then insert start of story, running away or whatever. Find some people. Is afraid to get close to them because of what's inside me. And oh no, it's gonna blow things up. You know, X-Men now. Mm-hmm. We're in the X-Men territory.
Yeah,
and they kind of go like, ah. Oh.
And she could have an event happen to her that's maybe turned her to either Brotherhood of Mutants or X-Men.
Yeah, that's good. Maybe she comes across another set of pirates and she actually goes and becomes a first mate on another pirate ship. But because of her storm sorcery abilities, she can control the weather.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, we need some extra wind. Don't worry. Wind.
On we go.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I really like that, man. That's the show for this week. Thank you very much for listening. We're on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or a question. We'll read it out and do our best to answer it. Thanks for everyone that's left ratings so far.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks for a lovely episode.
Thank you very much for having me.
The student has become the teacher.
Let's not go that far. I've been Sam Bradley.
I've been Ed Sylvester.
And you...
Oh, hello.
Oh, we both went for that then. Go on.
You've been our listeners. This has been Starter Set. Bye.
Goodbye.